Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
Associate producer Andrea Allen is here. Hello, Andrea.
Hello.
I woke up around noon and I went, all right, I got to be at work at 12. Let's just sleep a little longer.
Sure.
Then it became 12:30 and I'm like, all right, it's getting closer to 12 somehow. I promise I'll get up in about 10 minutes. I don't know what I was thinking. You're not hearing this wrong. I was like, I have to be at work at 12, so 12:45 should get me there on time. I was a little loopy. How you doing, Kenda?
I don't know. Okay, so we just had our marathon, obviously, 24 straight hours on air. And I didn't sleep once for the first time, you know, like not even for a minute of it. And I kept thinking like, oh my God, what if I'm psycho and I don't realize? And then Keith slept for like a tiny bit and came on air. And from then on, he kept looking at me like, I think you might be psycho now.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I'm not sure. They'll have to tell me when they listen back.
I kept looking, like I was listening in for most of it, and I kept looking at the Facebook Live feed, and like your hair seemed to be like, getting bigger and bigger. And you're just like, I love it. I love this. Ah. I'm like, wow, she's really, you were having such a good time.
I was.
And it was still like, you were great the whole time. I'm like, how is she not fucking losing her shit?
I was bananas. And I'll tell you, I had a cheating mechanism. I had a quarter of an Adderall, and not like, because I was going to take it at first, but I'm like, what am I going to do? Keep taking it every 4 hours? That's nuts. But I thought if I start crashing like 3 or 4 hours before the end, that's, you know, I don't want to start sleeping then.
Right.
But, and then like, who gave us? Somebody came in and was like, here's an Adderall.
I'm Allie Clinton.
Oh yeah, I'll add it to the group. So I had like 3 Adderalls by the end of this.
Stockpiled.
Yeah. And I'm just like, I just kept looking at it for, you know, when you're like, your friend's like, I'll be here if you need. And once you have that net, you're just like, whoa.
Yeah, yeah. I'm invincible now.
Yeah, I probably told a lot of secrets because I'm just like, we're all friends now, right? 24 hours of talking to you.
Well, let's go to the day before my annual stand-up show. Andrea performed as well, of course. Andrea, you were fantastic.
Thank you, as were you.
That's what I was getting at. How did you feel about it?
I performed too.
Well, easy.
I'm to read her stoner quotes in the beginning. Very exciting. That's every time a comic wants to do a joke about being stoned, they read out their funny stoned ideas. And they're like, why isn't everyone on board with this?
Why is she acting like my shit didn't go over well?
It did, but I've done a version of that joke. That's the first stoner joke that people make about weed is like, this crazy idea I had.
Well, I made it.
You did.
Let me tell you why I wrote down a list. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to memorize anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was fucking.
You just need the joke that says why I'm able to read off a piece of paper.
Yes.
And then you do your piece of paper joke.
Yeah.
Actually, I was thinking I eventually want to do either a half an hour or an hour. And I already named it. It's called My Listicles.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
That's the hardest part, the title, right? As a comedian, you know, Andrea.
Sure.
That is Andrea looking the hardest like, fucking bitch.
Everyone knows the title.
Hey, listen, if the people want it.
They do. They loved it. I wasn't hating, but it was just, it was classic stoner humor.
How'd you feel about your set? Were you pleased?
Ah, yeah. I was really pleased. I was a little, you know how it is when you open a show, it's called the bullet spot because you kind of got to like ramp it up. So in the beginning, I felt like I had to do a little ramping. And then once they were like, everyone was having fun and I've hit a stride, I felt really happy about it.
You did really great.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I thought my closer was good, so I was happy with that. I got to roll around on the floor as I do every.
Her closer was that she died and she just laid there on the floor.
Sure.
Spoiler alert.
Any way that I can lay on the ground during stand up.
Yeah, and it made me nervous because I was going to do that. I had to improvise fast. I was going to roll around like Madonna.
You had that roll around bit too? I'm so sorry.
Well,
every comic has to reach that point where they start rolling around on the ground.
I'm just doing it early in my career. I'm going to be a terrible hack with sound effects now. So that later, I got it out of the way.
And then Nick Turner knew Andrew's taking this seriously. I better give it all I got.
That was a hilarious first thing he said. He's like, okay.
Yeah, I loved like right away Nick says, you know, it's an honor that Keith has me here for his 14th special. I guess it would have been better if he had me any time between 1 and 13, but finally old Nick gets a chance.
He's actually so funny. I saw Twitter, I think, Andrea, that you sent it on our behalf, Keith and the girl. So
2 a.m.
Yeah.
Great job.
So she sends out like, or I don't, whatever. And a Twitter gets sent out like, this show is up, and we go at whoever. Mm-hmm. So it's like Keith's opener at Nick Turner. And I'm like, I don't think he's going to like Nick's opener. I don't think he's going to like being called that. And he replied to it. And he's like, that's my best credit yet. And I'm like,
oh. Oh, really? Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Oh, get over yourself. You're my.
Andrea, we're not behind a paywall.
I'm his opener. I rolled on the floor to get the crowd ready for him.
What else does he want?
Yeah.
But
that was all for you, Nick.
That, of course, was a very fun night. Bridget and the Squares performed after the stand-up.
And it felt very old school, like seeing Kyle there. Adam Brown came out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Adam Brown told me he listened to my show. I was so excited.
Oh, look at that. Because I talked to him. He doesn't.
Keith.
Adam gave me a tumor card. He's like, I meant to give this to you a while ago.
What a liar this guy is. I was happy about it for days.
I mean, the card says something about making lasagna if you need, but you don't need now, right? Everybody says you sound good.
Yeah. You're fine. I fake listen to your show. Gotta go.
But what am I going to do with this card? I mean, it's done. It's already, your name's on it. I can't re-gift it. So it's a card. Whatever. and then karaoke after, where I don't know where these people come from, but all of a sudden it was every karaoke professional came into that venue.
And I think they follow that band.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know like one person was on stage and, you know, he's like, all right, I'm about to sing. I need to lower the bass. Give me a treble up to 5. He looks, there's like 3 monitors in front of him. He points to the middle and goes, I need monitor number 2 higher. And
I totally thought he was joking. Yeah. I thought he was doing like, you know, his.
Like I'm a big deal type
thing. No, his Brooklyn version of turn my bass up, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like I thought he was just joking. So I go, yeah, you tell him. And he goes, I thought I did.
I thought I did just do that. What do you mean? And I'm just like, all right, fuck me.
Yeah, the comedy portion of this night is over. Nobody joke. And then he sang it beautifully. And I'm just like, who cares? I'm trying to participate.
Yeah, we're having fun. That's such a Brooklyn way to react, though.
Oh, and then I looked around and I'm like, oh, I get it. Everyone's with their like funny mustaches and beards. And,
right.
You know, just like, let's do everything crazy. But like, it's not crazy. It's totally normal.
It's my art. Hemda.
Yeah.
I'm a karaoke singer.
Singing Alive by Pearl Jam is your art. And I'm trying to, I'm like, oh, this is a great song. And they're like, we know. And I'm like, fuck me.
Right.
Yeah.
Fuck me. I'm ready to enjoy this. Yeah, I know. We're on stage. We're going to do enjoyable things.
You should have said, well, as president of A&R at Columbia Records, you kind of offended me.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's like the Brooklyn attitude. I used to like follow a bunch of bands around and I would always really dance and get into it. And one time a guy who I was friends with was like, can you stop dancing so much at these shows? Because like, I want people to think that we're cool and shit. I'm like, what?
What kind of shitty irony is that?
Yeah, I'm sorry that I'm participating, but it's like this whole, like, I don't give a fuck, but like, I'm really good at what I do, but like, doesn't, I don't know.
He said that.
I was like, all right, I'm not coming to your shows anymore. Because I'm not going to stand there and stare at my feet and act like I'm better than everybody else.
Can you stop enjoying myself? I want people to think this is a band where they take me seriously.
Sure, yeah.
Right. A lot of, we'll get to a lot of news next week, of course. Aaron Hernandez, Bill O'Reilly.
All the greats.
Yeah.
But the big thing I got to tell you is that People Magazine has picked for 2017 the world's most beautiful woman.
Oh, no.
And it is Janet Miller from Ohio, a school teacher.
Yay.
She is now, it's Julia Roberts.
Wait, again?
What?
Wow.
5th time, staying so beautiful.
God, she ages like a beautiful
girl. Coincidentally, a new movie coming out, but she is so beautiful. She's the world's most beautiful, beautiful woman.
Agreed. Why, was there a question? Why do they even do this? We all know.
But it's nice that it's recorded.
Sure.
Yes, that's true.
You know what I mean? All right, so today we're going to give you the first hour of the marathon. I'm like, what was it that we did? The marathon. 24 hours long, of course. So we'll give you an hour with the great Kevin Allison. Dana Rossi shows up.
Oh, and also, hashtag KTG-a-thon. Hashtag KTG-a-thon.
Mm-hmm.
You got to check it out. So we had a photo booth and I'm scrolling through and it's super fun. We're going to put like three of the photo booth pictures on the website and in the app, but I would scroll through.
They're so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone like had fun with it.
So. It was every time Jerome would tell me that he'd put new photos on like our share drive, I'd be like, woo, what's this one? And it was all my clothes. So I got to see comedians wearing all my clothes.
Yeah, they're your normal clothes.
Yeah, like, I know. Crazy costume.
I was like, hey, Andrea, can you just bring a few things from your closet? No reason. We'll figure it out later. Just come to the studio.
65 pounds of clothing later.
Yeah, a boa.
Maid costume.
Marijuana leaf crop tops. Mm-hmm,
a gorilla. Gorilla hands.
That's right.
A sword. I'm putting in this bag and I'm like, how do I? Okay. I'm a comedian. I need to be taken seriously. I have my props and I have my songs.
A cop looks at your bag and like, I don't know why I got to arrest you.
But
this is a weird fucking bag. By the way, I got a birthday card from my mom and 44 sweet dollars. One
nice.
To grow on.
Nice.
Yes.
Mm.
And it's a kid's card. It's, okay. There's a frog that says happy birthday and then you open it up. Can you find what is wrong in the duck pond? And you have to circle the problems. The problems to me, I'll put it on the website.
Oh, good. We can all find the problems.
You can all find the problems. And I don't want to spoil it, but I did it and I see two ducklings. They're both smiling like humans. That's odd. Mm-hmm. So that's wrong.
I thought that's like your mom's new way of pointing out why homosexuality is bad. What's wrong? The homos kissing in the
Look
back.
Look at these ducks of the same gender.
The sun has a smile face. The sun does not have a smile face. If anything, it'd be a moon with a face. So that's wrong.
You're really good at this.
Where did she get this?
I have no idea. It's one of those cards with no price on the back.
Oh, God. She probably bought it at a garage sale.
Right.
And was like, I'll save it because it's so good.
Keith, this made me think of you.
The ones without the price on the back means she bought it in bulk.
Right.
Yeah.
Next to the pond
for the
is
next 44 years.
Right.
You're going to have to find out what's wrong for 44 years.
Next to the pond is a flashlight, but a kid could have walked by and left a flashlight at the pond.
Uh-huh.
So that I don't think that's a problem. There's a lollipop. All right. So a kid had a lollipop.
Your parents think you're 12.
Yeah, but I got into it. They're right.
Your parents know you're 10.
Well, they know because it goes by money. They didn't send me
$10. Right.
You know what I mean? I do think all these cards, though, it's kind of a bribe. Happy birthday, Keith. We hope that you have a wonderful day. If you get a chance to relax, you can color the card and figure out what is wrong with it. Smiley face.
Does she think you're dropping acid for your birthday?
What is this?
It made us smile. Just as you always make us smile.
Oh, luckily I have crayons, you bitch, Andrea.
We hope that now that you are 43, you and Catherine will start to go to church.
What?
Wait, shut up.
That's
really?
In your card?
We may not get to spend much time together now, but when we go to heaven, we will have lots of time.
No! Shut up.
We love you very much.
That's so hardcore. They're like, you never come over, but we'll see you in heaven.
Yeah. We can hang out for eternity with you and your lovely wife.
You can't escape us. Who's dying first? Let us know.
Oh, God.
Wow, that's creepy.
That is super creepy.
Coming up, record release day this weekend. Kenda's
Record Store Day.
Record Store Day.
Yeah,
and Kenda's Conjure One album will be out. Pick it up on vinyl.
Yeah. Oh, so when you get the vinyl, you get a free download card.
Look
Take
at
a
that.
Picture, post it on social media. Fucking party.
So you get the cool, hip vinyl.
Uh-huh.
And you get a way that you can actually listen to it.
This is like the coolest thing. I don't know. It's been bringing up like crazy memories and stuff.
Sure.
It's so cool.
She's fantastic on it. Vistaprint, get 500 business cards, $9.99. Customize your text, colors, backsides, and more. They have thousands of industry-specific templates, or you can design it your own, as we did.
Follow me on this. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I get 500 business cards for $9.99.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I give all of them to one person, and it says, take one and pass it down.
That's funny.
I like that.
Thank you.
500 business cards.
Stoner stand-up, right?
$9.99. But it's fire, but you're holding it. That's a lighter, Kenda. Visit Vistaprint.com.
Okay. Listen, you guys want me to do some shit to your jokes or
sure.
what?
Sure, go ahead. I'm impenetrable, Kenda.
Andrea, yeah, she went balls out because she played songs during hers. She played had music. That's always scary because who knows if someone's going to fuck it up, but it worked out. Vistaprint.com, 500 business cards, $9.99. Use code KATG at checkout. That's code KATG at checkout. It's up to a 50% savings over regular site pricing. The quality is great. They're easy to customize. And you can't beat the price. To try 500 business cards for $9.99. This is a chance to get that professional look on any budget. Don't wait. Go to VistaPrint.com and order today. All right? All right.
500 business cards.
I ordered some a few years ago. Still passing them out. They say Andrea fucking Allen on them. VistaPrint printed it so nice.
That's why you're famous now.
Uh-huh.
Don't print anything.
Yeah. I said cuntliquor.com and they sent it right to me.
They don't even go, are you sure? Is the spell wrong?
Mm-hmm. Are you sure you didn't mean can't liquor?
And I said, no, you know me. Print it up, please.
Fucking Allen.
All right, here we go. The great Kevin Allison, Dana Rossi, myself. Kenda, bon appetit.
All stars. Hey, all you assholes, come and listen to
us. Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Kenda.
Here we go.
Oh my God.
24 hours.
Whose idea was this? My tumor?
It's that easy.
You know what? I kept saying, this is the start of our marathon, hashtag KTG-a-thon. I kept saying to people, it's only 24 hours this year, so blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Like, it's not a big deal. It's only 24 hours this year, so blah, blah, blah. And whatever it was like, and then it always was followed by, what am I talking about? We're doing a show for 24 hours. Right. Why would I put only in that sentence?
Well, actually, our buddy Andrew, who's here and did tech work yesterday for my stand-up show that we'll get into, and of course is here today, put together, thank goodness, a list of Keith and the Girl disasters. Times when we had a stand-up show or...
any event.
A marathon or any event. And
a major, major event.
There was something major. For example, last year, we did the marathon during a blizzard, during a snowstorm, and nobody could come out.
Was that last year or 2 years? That was the whole room is going, yes. Yes, Hamda, I will tell you what happened to you last year. This is, I swear to God, and you know what? I'm going to smoke all the pot that I want because you guys just remind me what really happens. Because I don't know, like, I want to blame it on pot before I blame it on age. So.
It was April 15th, some years ago, the Boston bombing.
Right, on your birthday and stand-up show. God, that was a really inconvenient thing to happen for you.
Rude.
Totally rude.
Quite rude. Crash Mansion did a stand-up show there. There was flooding. Subways were closed.
Everything was closed. And you know what about that one? That one was such a good show. The Merritt played afterwards. It was really fun. And then the guy who, these motherfucking bookers, Crash Mansion, I'm forgetting your name, but boy, would I love to shout it out right now. He comes up to me and he goes, yeah, it's cool for a Wednesday.
You didn't do too bad for a Wednesday. A, the place was packed. People couldn't get in. There was flooding in those subways. Like, why do you even have to throw that out? It's great for any day.
Yeah. I don't even remember if it was a Wednesday, but I know some club owner at some point was like, it's okay for Wednesday. And I was like, no, it's not. You pack the house. This is ridiculous, whatever you're trying to tell me.
Right. Because you have to be indebted to them forever. Remember, of course, we went to Toronto, right? We were in Canada. We made a DVD of it also. did a show, did Dodgeball, Canada Cheated. We didn't notice until all of a sudden we're trying to go from New York to Canada. We're in Mexico. I don't know where this driver was taking us.
It was hours before we're like, oh, we should be like close to the border, I think. Yeah. And we're in DC.
Maybe he knows a long shortcut or something. I don't know.
A long shortcut. Yes.
We did a stand-up show and then a party right after. And the party was on the 100 millionth floor.
Oh my God.
And the elevators broke down. So that means cake carrying up 65 flights of stairs.
And people were stuck on the flight, on the elevator.
Yeah, people got stuck on the elevator.
Yeah.
And so they're still there, but we got the cake up, and if you took the steps, things are okay.
Hey, what are you gonna do?
We never checked. Now I feel bad. We never checked about that elevator. Well, welcome, everybody. This is very exciting. I'll tell you who's in the room. You can see on camera, and also you can see through the app, keithandthegirl.com. / app. Right, Hamda? Am I right or wrong?
Oh, that's funny because I wasn't listening to you because let me tell you what's happening right now. Way too much. We just set up these systems. We have IM going. And what did you say, Keith?
Well, Andrea took the time to write in Party Super Party, and that's very distracting to you.
Holy shit, Andrea.
Right. In the audience, we have people that supported our Kickstarter. We have Sylvie. We have Jamie. Hello. We have Amanda and Alicia, who said last night that it was her 21st birthday. So we're doing shots. And guess whose birthday is until next week? Guess who's going to jail?
I had to tell the bar.
Yeah, yeah. And Sarah and James, how are you guys? All right. Thank you very much. The reason it's today, usually it's in January when we do the marathon.
And that's because in January, it's freezing in New York. So with all the bodies in these rooms and coming in and out, we can breathe.
Right. Well, Kemda had her tumor.
Sorry, buddies.
Inconvenienced all of us.
Yes.
And so we're having a, so that she doesn't die, we shortened the marathon from 76 hours. And we're going to just do one full day. And now it happens to be the weather. Today's the one day it's going to be in the 80s. Why not?
80-something degrees. First of all, I should be outside. Second of all, that's today's tragedy. The other tragedies were the subways weren't running, the streets were closed, everything was flooded. Today, it's going to be 85 degrees.
But everybody was very helpful for, you know, the cost of taking out a tumor. It ain't cheap. You know, and if you don't pay up, they put it back in. The healthcare system's bullshit. People aren't lying. So thank you for everybody's support, everybody that's in this room. Thank you. Some people sponsored some of this marathon. For example, Wally writes, I want to shout out Keith and Kemda for providing 12 plus years of the best podcasting in the industry. Oh, shucks. I did the math, he says. It's true.
This is funny. I don't think people understand what shout outs are. He bought this shout out and then said, hey, you guys, you should listen to Keith and the Girl.
You guys inspire me to get after my artistic side. And are the Yeah, because when he was driving the tour bus, he got very artistic with it. You guys inspire me to get after my artistic side and are the reason I've met so many great people as part of the Keith and the Girl universe. So thank you for that. Also got a shout out for super cool women that I look up to. Andrea Allen, Emily Lubin, in parentheses, Hot Mess, Catherine Heller, and Mimi Cherry. Mimi Cherry here helping us out. Lastly, to my biggest supporter, Donna. Aww. That's his mistress. Thank you for being, that's his business. Thank you for being super awesome, supportive, and telling me to get on stage and try stand up. Love you, babe. Your friendly neighborhood driver, Wally.
That's really sweet.
Thank you, Wally. All right, well, let's get right into it, shall we? We have 6,000 guests. And we're going to start with one of your favorites, ladies and gentlemen. From Risk, True Stories Boldly Told, Kevin Allison.
Hello.
How you doing?
Howdy, I'm good.
How do you get ready? Like, of course, you know this is a big honor, being the first guest out of a million. I don't have to tell you. How do you celebrate a 16-ounce bottle of piss? Like, what do you do?
No, I am so piss deprived lately. Aww. Yeah,
and
I don't
it's a
know.
Shame because it's everywhere.
Yeah, it is. I know. It seems like it would be so easy to attain.
Isn't it weird? Do you pass people on the street? It's like you have gold inside you right now.
Throwing it away. Yes. You're throwing it away. Yeah, no, it is weird to get to that point where you can ask someone for it.
Right. Yeah. Well, people give weed to Hemda at events. Because
as they should.
Oh no, yeah. I should tell. Well, no, I shouldn't.
You don't actually. Tell
him. No, because I have to be attracted to the guy. You know what I mean?
You got to know the source.
Yeah, so I have to. I really have to specifically, you know, hint to you. Yes, I would like for you to fill that empty beer bottle with your piss.
What kind of hinting is that?
My mouth is dry and you're attractive. Picture people put together reels, right? And it's like a Coors Light commercial. My piss comes from the fresh. Here's what I ate this morning.
This is why I like the whole texting thing, because it's easier to like come up with like innuendos and funny little things that you might not, or I might not have the guts to say in real life, or, you know, or even occur. I'm not that good of an improviser, or at least I've never thought of myself as being so good of an improviser. So yeah, but I'm really good with coming up with like Cyrano de Bergerac kind of, you know, stuff on like texting people things.
I'm so glad you'd be texting me that so that I can like just Google everything you say.
Yeah, right. And have a little bit of time to say, yeah, okay, maybe if he's clever enough with the next line, I'll pee into something for him.
What's the most cleverest line to get you to pee into something?
Because like he writes something and he goes, oh, that's good. That's going to get me urine. That's a good one.
What happened when Urine Town came out?
He was disappointed. It's nothing like that.
No, I don't want to see it in a musical, for gosh sakes. That doesn't sound sexy.
Do phrases like, I pissed my pants over that. I just get you hard. Like piss poor. No, is that weird to you?
No.
It's because people that you're thinking like, you don't know what you're saying.
Well, I knew a guy who was into having already soiled underwear, you know, who showed up and we were going to do the whole pissy thing. And he thought that I would like it if his underwear was already very pissy.
Yeah, you need it fresh.
No. Yeah. I don't like it. Yeah. I don't like it. Yeah, exactly. Fresh, like, you know, milk right from the horse or what. Wait, what am I talking about?
We talk about, you know, different things that people like. And so that guy, either he encountered someone or he actually likes piss that's been in somebody's pants for a while. And we live in New York City.
Oh, God. So yeah, exactly. I associate that with, you know, you're always running into people on the subways who have had piss in their pants for quite a while.
So here's the upside of that. We all know that if we see a car with only that's like completely empty during rush hour, mm-hmm. we don't go in there. That's going to smell like soiled piss. Mm-hmm. This guy is having a field day.
Yeah.
This guy is like, oh, my God. Train to myself and I'm gonna jerk off.
Yeah, well, you know, it's so funny to ask someone, hey, could you take a shower first, you know, because you came here in soiled underwear, take a shower first and then piss in my mouth.
How do you navigate that? Oh wait, I always need to wait for the end of his sentences.
Did I tell you guys about the big ambush that happened at me at King Camp last summer?
Does it involve your asshole?
Is this good news?
It involves pee. It involves lots of people peeing.
So it involves ambushing and peeing.
Yeah, see,
does it involve consent?
Yes, consent is a big part of it because
you have a t-shirt that says, I consent.
Whatever it is. Here's my blanket. I went to an all-male kink camp last August, and I was so scared. It's so funny to me. I still suffer from so much goddamn social anxiety, and it's just the funniest thing. Like, you just navigate that.
You know what? That happens to me, too, and I think people assume every room I walk into, I'll be able to talk to anybody who walks up to me.
Because you're a performer, and because you talk for a living.
And because I book things like 24-hour marathons.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Where guests come in. And the thing is I can do it. And I can do it probably more than your average person because I've been practicing for 12 years on air. But every once in a while, I really just look in someone's face and go, I fucked this up.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to move backwards from here.
It's just the weirdest thing. I think it comes from when I was a little kid because I was so terrified that people would find out I was gay. Mm. And so I was just afraid they'd reject me and hurt me and yada, yada, yada. And
you know what's funny is I was afraid people would find out I had a big nose.
Yeah.
You think no one knew Kevin?
Oh, God. It's so funny. My mother, she found 2 inches. All right, maybe it was 1.5 inches of Kirk Cameron photographs from Tiger Beat and whatever. Underneath my mattress.
Too.
Really? You too?
I mean, I got to put it up on my wall, but then my mother was like, you're a total slut. So kind of.
Yeah. Know. My mom was like, what is this? And I blamed my little sister who I was like, oh, I was saving them for Becca. And Becca happened to be walking past my doorway at that time. She was like, no, he wasn't.
Becca! Camaraderie, Becca.
But no. And then every day she would ask, are you dating Meg? Are you dating your friend Meg? And I would say, no, I'm not. And finally, I got so frustrated because it was such an obviously loaded question that I took a paper plate and started Xing off. Every day she asked me, are you dating Meg? And I would say, no, we're just friends. And one day I was like, look at this. This is the number of times you've asked me that question. Then finally, I'm 18. It's time to go to NYU and, you know, a week away from going away to college. And I'm like, all right, I'll tell him now. So I came out and I was like, did you guys know? And she was like, no. I'm like, what the fuck? It's so baffling.
Yeah. I think we didn't back then put it in our minds that that was an option. It's like,
yeah.
And also, I think we were under the assumption that like 0.5% of the entire universe was gay. Or on a queer spectrum of sorts. I think it was like, I think that's, you know, we called it queer and we still do, but for different reasons. And it's like, you're the oddball. You're the...
Right. Well, that was my winning formula as a kid is that I'm weird. I'm going to be the goofy guy. And that was, you know, like in order to... So that if you eventually find out I'm weird in this other way, you'll be like, oh, he's just weird all around. You know, it's okay. He's harmlessly weird.
Right.
Yeah. And I still do that. I'm still like in my stories, super friendly, but obviously a weirdo.
Thank God for the weirdos. Actually, not thank God. It's Easter. Boo, boo. Doesn't count. God, nothing. Oh my God.
Speaking of Easter and family, do you invite your mom to King Camp just to see what you do?
No, she has no idea. And she doesn't download podcasts. She doesn't know how the internet works. So that's a large part of the reason I've been able to do Risk.
Well, and thank God. But is it also a shame? Like, why doesn't she even care that... like, you'd rather not have her crying, but... Why doesn't she care enough what her son's doing?
Oh, God. Well, no, I think it's... I think I would
love you so much as you being my son that I would know exactly what you're doing.
Right. Well, you know...
I'd have you arrested. It's disgusting.
I went through that period where I would tell her, oh, I smoked pot. Oh, I did. And, you know, like around high school, college.
You can tell her you smoked pot before you said you smoked a dick. Are you serious?
Well, it all ended. You know, at a certain point, it was like a shock every time. You know what I mean? At a certain point, it would be like, wait, you freaked out the last time I told you I smoked pot. And right. And the gay thing is, you know, I came out and then it's like, okay, I've come out. So then in college, I admitted that I slept with guys that I wasn't going to marry. And that was a shock. So finally, I just stopped revealing shit. You know right. what I mean?
I went through the same series of events. Yeah. It was like, okay, we're going to do something just outside your comfort zone. We're going to say that I go out later than I say or something. Or,
right.
Or if we're hanging out and you're dropping me off somewhere, she would see like the characters that I would hang out with and she would just hang her head. And I'm like, you didn't even talk to these people. You're just looking at them. Or she came to my apartment one time and just started crying as to where I was living because it was like the East Village back when the East Village.
Oh, oh.
I mean, granted, I had just...
Those were the days, right, buddy?
The East Village could bring you to tears. St. Mark's. Yes,
but she didn't know. What she didn't know is I had just... This was like a safe zone. I had just moved out of a cokehead's apartment who stole all my shit.
Yeah, sure.
So I'm like, ta-da!
Yeah, exactly,
and
right.
This is a shower right next to my kitchen sink and there's no sink where we have to brush our teeth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But no cokehead, but she didn't know that, so she didn't have like the words to compare. She even one time was like, she found that I slept with this guy and she's like, oh my God, he's taking advantage of you. I'm like, this isn't the first person, you know, like you say, you have to be like a little more reality, even though it's not what you want to hear. And she goes, oh my God, you slept with more people than me. And I'm like, you slept with one person.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
I can't. You will not test if I bleed the first time I have sex. This is not the relationship we have.
Well, the Catholic thing, I mean, this weekend is a perfect example. You know, for a long time, I just, you know, kept acting like I was still a Catholic, you know. And then finally, it was like, oh God, I can't lie and say I'm still going to church. So the one tradition I had when I was 7 years old, I was obsessed with Jesus Christ Superstar, the record, right?
Okay.
In fact,
look at you get what? Of all the Christian things, it's the musical.
Oh yeah, exactly. I would act it out. I was being crucified on the floor of the basement one day, you know, like you know, literally acting like I was Jesus, like being whipped and crucified.
Wait,
and everything.
To who?
To the soundtrack of Jesus Christ Superstar.
By yourself.
By myself, just, you know, nails going through my hands and my mind's eye, you know.
Pontius Pilate's pissing all over me.
Exactly, exactly. It's just all kinds of bodily fluids. But one of my brothers walked in and made fun of me and called me Hamlet, I think, for being so dramatic. And I got
little did he know what happens to musicals with Hamlet.
Exactly. I got so upset that I took a penny and scratched my favorite song off of the album with this penny. It was I Don't Know How to Love Him, the song sung by Mary right. Magdalene.
Oh, don't give me stars. Yeah, yeah. I'll break in the song right now. You shut your mouth.
And then I was like, look what you made me do. It was the weirdest thing. Yeah. Like destroying the thing I loved and then being like, look what you made me do. Very fucked up and weird. But anyway, so for years I had this tradition where, okay, I'm no longer going to church, but I'll listen to Jesus Christ Superstar every Good Friday.
Hilarious.
And even that I don't do anymore, but I still, like today I talked to my mom on the phone and she was, did you listen to Jesus Christ Superstar? I was like, yeah, oh sure. But you know,
isn't that funny to question whether you need to lie to your mom about listening to Jesus Christ Superstar?
It's just ridiculous.
And then to decide to lie to her so that what? She doesn't kill herself over you listening to, over you not listening to Jesus Christ Superstar because that's the closest to God that you'll ever be again.
God. Oh,
wait until we tell
her
about the piss.
Oh my. Do you ever think about that? Like, you know, once they pass away, if they can look down and see all the pissing.
Can they go back in time?
Like oh God!
Like probably right. Like when the parents die, could you stop then? Knowing that would you stop if they could see?
God, no. Especially if I was like, okay, they're beyond, but they can't reach. I don't know. I would block it. Then I would be the one in denial. I would be right. Like, no, I'm not thinking about that. If that was the reality.
So you're being ambushed by all this piss.
Oh, yeah. So I go to this male kink camp. And the thing of it is that unlike a pansexual kink camp, they don't talk to you about consent at an all-gay male kink camp. Like,
no.
At a pansexual one, you have to go through, like, an orientation first about here's how negotiation works, here's consent, here's talking about STDs, blah, 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 blah. Right. But the men, it's just like... You know,
go get them.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, go get them. So I show up and I'm like kind of nervous because I'm like, I've never been to one of these before. And I've just got my usual social anxiety. Everyone knows everyone. I know no one. And we're having cocktails that first day. And someone is grabbed. So this chubby Korean looking guy is grabbed and tied to a fence. They strip his clothes off and they start shooting paintballs at him.
Yeah.
He's screaming.
Not fun piss ones.
No, not piss ones.
That's not cool.
He's screaming bloody murder. Everyone's laughing and throwing stuff at him. And I said to my friend, was that planned? And he was like, no, that's an ambush. Usually happens to the newcomers. So I was like, oh my God.
Wait, and you don't have to wear like a bracelet that says I'm cool with this.
Right. So that weekend I was especially on edge. Like, you know, like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Am I going to get, are people going to like me? Blah, 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 blah.
Time out. Now, when you see this ambush and you know that you will probably be ambushed because you are one of the new people,
mm-hmm.
is part of you excited because it's kind of what you came for, or is this way too much?
Well, you know what
and
I now
did you consider
know?
Leaving? Because I'm going to say no.
No, I have talked to a lot of guys and realized that, oh, you know, you forget things and then remember things. Like, there's a guy who told a story on Risk about attending this very same kink camp, and he talked about being ambushed as well. Mm. He confessed to some friends at the camp, oh my God, I love guys who look like gnomes. He loves guys who look like hobbits, basically.
You know what? In this community, you really have to be very comfortable with what you look like. Because it's very comfortable. Like, and I'm a chubbo, and that's what we're looking for. I'm a gnome.
Well, that's the weird
I'm a
thing
ginger.
Is that, you know, it's so fun. I do find that in the kink community, a lot of the guys, you know, I pay attention much more to the guys than the gals. A lot of them have a wide range of tastes. So the fact that I have such specific tastes, like younger, skinnier, twinky guys, and they're the least, you know, they're going to be the minority at a kink camp. It's going to be mostly older, bearish, hairy. You're bound to be in much more luck looking for gnomes.
Did you ever think that somebody that drinks urine would say, I have specific tastes?
Well, I do. You can't have too much asparagus or certain kinds of vitamins, you know?
Like, picture you make dinner for Kevin, but it's not up to par. Go fuck yourself.
All right, so where was I?
You're getting pissed off.
Oh, yeah. So I knew from my friend that people have to hear you say some things. You know what I mean? To, like, right. start to be, that's what he likes. Here's, you know, you develop a little bit of a rapport with people, and then they start planning.
It sounds like the Wishmaster, because I would go in there and be like, I love candy, blah, blah, blah. You know, just, like, say it to myself, but they overhear. And then there's a bunch of, like, a candy bar in my ass.
Well, at the pansexual camp, at the men and women camp that I go to.
Keith's craziest thing is if he says candy, there's a candy bar in his ass.
Oh, I'm sorry about this kink camp.
Wait,
I guess
what?
They just give me candy.
Wait, what?
Oh, thanks for the candy.
This requires more unpacking. What just happened?
I'm thinking like you get ambushed, you get tied up, you get stripped, and you get paintballs thrown at you. And like between Keith and me, we can only come up with you like candy and there's a candy bar in your ass.
Oh, I like, see. I well, feel like kind of hot.
Okay, Keith, you win. I don't know anything. I need to learn how to talk dirty, apparently.
So they overhear you saying something about urine?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like the third day there at camp, right. You know, and I'm feeling...
They're like, how do I get in this building? And you're like, you're in the right place. And they're like, close enough! They're ready to go.
I was in the dungeon, which is actually just a big old barn, you know. Literally, it happens at, like, what is ordinarily a children's... summer camp.
Okay, sure.
So you know, the kids are gone. Now they've got all the pervs.
That's a lot of scrubbing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I that's think deep so. Cleaning. A lot of bleach. but anyway, so this man who was a master of ropes had taken these two twinkie guys and turned them into marionettes. He had them. They were like,
I never know the end of your sentences. It's magical.
Okay. You ever see the movie Saw? Okay, so they take these two guys.
Well, wait. I'm thinking of like the NSYNC. Remember the NSYNC where they were all strung up? So he had two Twinkie boys who were naked and had, you know, ropes tied to all their limbs. And he was pulling them so that one would end up with his face in the other one's butt. And then the other one is facing in the crotch or whatever. And I was mesmerized
Don't
by
fight it.
It. Yeah. Oh, it was so
Why
fun.
Why are you touching yourself? Why are you touching yourself?
Today we master the art of blowing ourselves and he just pulls the marionette.
Blow yourself. Blow yourself. Pull the string.
It's also like Jesus, high on a hill. A lonely goddess. So wait. Okay. So then what happens? I'm standing there and this really beautiful Puerto Rican youngster comes up next to me who had my...
I don't know if it's the way you're describing, but yummers.
Yeah, we had been flirting. We had both been flirting the whole weekend.
What's flirting? Like fisting?
No. He was a really like mischievous guy who would just make these cute little comments every now and then. Mm. And so, yeah. And he was dressed like a bunny throughout most of the weekend. Yes, so yes. Very Eastery.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's because he can have the flaps in the back.
Sure. You got to have the flaps. No, but.
I'm speaking the language now.
Yeah. And then we'd lay an egg. You know what I mean?
And then next to him was this guy who looked like a very handsome, like rugged older guy, looked like Ed Harris, right? Younger Ed Harris.
Oh, shoot.
And so there, we're both like watching, we're all watching the marionettes. And one of them said, there's a water sports party tomorrow night. Okay. And I was like,
that means pissing.
I will not be tricked
exactly.
again. That means pissing.
Okay. Exactly.
By the way, we did a poll on our audience and who knew that water sports was pissing. I'm in the minority, man.
Oh, everyone knows? Yeah. Well, the president's made it popular, I guess.
The one thing he was good for.
The one thing other than me being completely orange, we have these two things in common. but anyway, so yeah. So we're saying, oh, ha, 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 that'd be fun to go to. Don't wear too much. Ha, ha, ha. And I said, just, you know, totally innocently, not even really thinking.
Can we just do it now?
No. I said, you know, I'll never forget how surprised I was at how much I loved it the first time a guy used me as a human urinal.
Wait, you happen to say that?
I happen to say that. I mean, that's kink camp sort of talk, I figured.
By the way, you know when he does his storytelling, it starts with, and I'll never believe the day I said.
That's the one
right,
thing.
That's where the story starts.
The first time he didn't know where his sentence was going to end. Right.
I never thought I'd get that wedge of cheese up my ass. Let me back up a bit. but no, okay, so I say that, and then Ed Harris looks at, I'll call him Diego, because when I've told the story before, I've just given them fake names. Looks at the younger guy and is like, and they're looking at each other, and they nod, right? So it's like, they just knew, like, oh, we've heard something that this we can ambush someone about, right?
I love the words ambush. It's like if you kicked me in the balls and said April Fool's Day. You know what I mean?
The word's not ambush, but go on.
Well, I don't know what the right word is. That's what my thinking of it is. So one of them grabs, Ed Harris like grabs my head, and then Diego gets me in a headlock, and Ed Harris starts yelling to everyone in the bar, and we've got a urinal here. And I'm saying,
do you open your mouth at that point?
Well, I was saying no, 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 no. But
no! No!
Right, people could clearly see that I was not actually resisting, you know. I mean, you can tell. So they're forcing me outside of the barn, and it's dark. It's late at night, and sure enough, there's a fucking line to use the bathroom outside of the barn. And the guy's like, the Ed Harris guy is like, no, 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 guys, over here. He brings me out on this grassy knoll. So many interesting things happen.
All bad things. Knolls. Yeah.
Yeah.
All things that make you sad.
No, this was thrilling. Oh, I forgot to mention the handcuffs. They handcuffed me too.
Well, I'd assume you have to.
Behind my back, the handcuffs. And it was the weirdest thing because in that moment.
Yeah, that was the weirdest thing. Uh-huh. What? Tell us about the weirdest thing in the moment.
No, I'll tell you. The weirdest thing came later. But when they clicked the handcuffs, there was a bit of relief there. You know, it was like, it was kind of like I had spent the whole weekend like worrying, what's going to happen? What's the worst that could happen to me? You know, right. Social anxiety. But then when someone clicks handcuffs on you, you're like, oh, fuck it. I've just got to go along for the ride at this point.
Right. Everything's up to them. I don't have to pretend to go, no.
Right. Exactly.
I can't do anything. I'm kidnapped.
Exactly. But then a really nice thing happened right after the click of the handcuffs. Diego.
They read you your rights.
That was a trick.
You treated it like a human.
No, Diego says to someone, grab his phone, get his phone out of his pocket to get it so that it wouldn't get wet.
Oh, that's right. Sweet.
And then I really felt taken care of in that moment. You know, they took my phone, they threw it aside in the grass.
Threw it aside, sure. Taken care of.
And then they got me down on my knees.
Took a shit on the phone.
That's probably not good for it. Diego went first, and I was super attracted to him. You know, he was young. He was, like, really sexy. And so I went for him with relish. You know, like, I, like, was literally kind of sucking his cock, and he was peeing, and it was awesome. Mm.
Can you do that?
Too
much imagining. Hold on. Okay, I'm there.
I can't. I get shy bladder. Just peeing next to someone in a public bathroom, right?
But it's the only way I can.
There's got to be people. You've got to be.
It's more competition.
And the guy next to you has to be handcuffed.
Yeah.
And then Ed Harris went, but I'll tell you were talking before, like the different taste. Like Diego, very, very like, you know, like Evian. Right. And Ed Harris, you know, a little pungent,
I haven't had Avion in a while, so.
Yeah.
I'll take your word for it, but I might reconsider.
Does the first guy, he's into you, right? So when he pees on you, is he saying, sorry, sorry, sorry? Like he has to do it to fit into the gang?
Oh, no. The first guy, he was one of the guys, one of the two who ambushed me. The first two people who went were the guys who were kind of had kind of taken control.
Okay.
Yeah. And Ed Harris, you know, when he started peeing into my mouth, he realized right away that I was like, you know, because nasty taste to his. So he just started peeing like on my head and all over my face and down my
do you worry by then it's not from a good place because you just humiliated him and now he's just trying to piss all over you so you reek on the way home?
No, he was nice. Like he
do they have showers?
Yeah, well, they do. They do.
Real
What I wasn't sure is if they had a goddamn laundry because I only had one pair of jeans, right?
That's
and
real
it was getting
smart.
Very messed up. No, and at that point, it was like there was literally a crowd. I mean, there was a crowd up. I'm looking up at just all these faces and shadows, right? And then the streams just started flowing. It was like a baptism of just like. Right. I remember feeling like I had a river of piss running down my, you know, in between my cleavage down to my crotch.
Does it feel good?
It did feel good. It did feel good. It was really kind of awesome and sexy to be like, I was leaning into it. You know what I mean? I was like, really like, oh my God, this works for me. I don't know. I really don't know. Like, it just felt good. It was nice to be the center of attention.
It always is.
Too.
It always is. Sometimes it's just nice to have a me day. Holy fuck.
Yeah, I'm usually better in a crowd than, you know, like the one-on-one, the performer in me,
right.
I guess.
I feel like I have to warn the audience because we set up the marathon to get crazier and crazier. In 3 hours, we're going to tell you about a murder. You know, while you're here, let me, do me a favor, Ann. Give this mic to Alicia, the young lady right there in the middle. And let's say hi to her. Wish her a happy birthday real quick. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. When you hear these stories, yeah, you're a young lady. Yes. You have a lot to look forward to.
I think young lady is an assumption.
Now, I know you're...
I just want to point out, she's here with her mom. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Her mom got her into the show.
Yes.
Right? And you're going to turn 21 next week. Mm-hmm. And you and your mom are sitting, listening to pissing stories together. Happy
we
birthday.
We wouldn't have it any other way.
You look, no. You look thrilled.
No. Yes, we are thrilled.
What, during that conversation, did you look at each other once?
During Kevin's conversation?
Yeah, yeah.
No, because this is normal.
Okay.
This is what we expect. Okay. No, we knew Kevin was going to be on. We're like, we're going to hear a piss story. Okay.
When Kevin was saying, or who was it? I guess it was Hemda's mom was saying, you slept with more people than I did. Who slept with more people? You or your mother, would you say?
Oh, my mom has had me chopped. That's
yeah? She's a trooper.
I know. The bar is set high on that side, so it's not something.
Okay. That's awesome.
Do you know your father?
Yes, I do know
okay.
Very well.
Okay. Does he know you? Like, is it one way through Facebook?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. No, it's more like he knows the Facebook side of me.
Okay. Uh-huh. Who needs him, right?
No, not in a bad way. It's just that I don't think he could handle all of that.
Yeah, right. Well, he has a underage drunk for a daughter. Of course he'd rather not know.
No, actually, I think he, because now we've graduated to the point where we're drinking together. You know, like I went and saw him last week. He's like, you know, you're turning 21. So, and I was a bartender for a while. So he's like, why don't you fix me up a cocktail, you know, and see.
You're
like,
turning 21.
Holy right. Cow.
Right. Yeah. Right. So the alcohol weirdly is the okay part. It's just all the sex and the weed smoking and. Etc.
He's like, this isn't the daughter I didn't raise.
Right.
Oh my God. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Happy birthday. Also, Ann Whitman's in the room. Thank you so much for being here. AnnWhitman.com. You have to see her pictures. They will just put you in awe.
Dana Rossi, come on over here. Dana's joining us today as well. What is settles in, what is the youngest age that you can go, Kevin? Is it up to the law? What is the youngest age? Is 20 when you said wow at 21? Now I get why that
youngest person that I would have sex with?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the youngest person I have had sex with in my adult life was 19. So yeah, definitely not going below the law.
Okay, right.
Is it different sex between a 19-year-old and a 40-year-old?
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. There's a certain I mean, sometimes it's frustrating. Sometimes a younger person has too much wired energy. You know, I find that when I have sex with older guys, there's more of like a smooth, calm, you know, able to like go with the flow. And sometimes younger guys are a little bit more like, okay, relax, you know. Yeah. Right. But then other times, you know, it really depends. It's person to person. Yeah, yeah.
Hi, Dana. Welcome to the show.
By the way, one more question. Kevin, is it true that a 16-year-old can piss on you if they get their parents' permission?
I think I should say no to that.
But yes, of course, Dana Rossi is here, and we're going to talk about your shit stories. Now, you went to a shit club the other day. How you doing, Dana?
Well, I'm good. How are you doing?
I am good. Thank you very much. This is a very exciting time.
Now, we did have, you went totally off script, Kevin, and it's exactly what we expected. The 20-year-old knew to expect it, and so did we. But this marathon is the grudge marathon. Mm. And so what we're doing is we're having people telling us about fights that they've had because of their occupation as a comic.
Mm.
And so I like it because yours was completely ironic. You would think that pissing on you was part of the grudge, but this is the opposite. But you are talking about, you have a story about fighting with someone. Oh, yeah, so everyone's coming on and talking to us about a story that they have because they either produced a show and they fought with a booker, or something bad happened and a heckler punched you in the face while mm-hmm. you were on stage. And so thank you for coming to our Peace Fest.
Yeah. Well, I had a hard time coming up with something that would have happened on stage, like back when I did any of that, because I don't do like soundtrack series or any of that anymore. But the one I did come up with was that now I work in TV, and when I was still PAing, there was
Kevin.
PAing.
Oh, what is that in your world?
What could it be? I know,
I was like, production assistant kink player.
I was like trying to come up with a P and then ass was the end. But what was the
pissing an asshole? Who knows?
Yeah.
He's creative.
No, there was this AD that like wouldn't leave me the fuck alone, and would always come over and like pat me on the head.
Ugh, like, what?
Yeah, I know.
Like good girl or something like that?
Who cares? Like what?
What did
like
you
this?
Do?
Wow.
Knock it the fuck off. And like that I think only egged him on more because he thought this was like a game.
Oh, wow.
He thought we were playing. I think like he had nothing better to fucking do.
Right.
Then pat you on the head.
Then pat me on the head and pat me on the head, and I would tell him to knock it off and everything, and blew up at him at one point. I mean, like, I'm a PA and still trying to, like, you know, make a good impression on everybody, but it's like you only have, like, so much of a threshold that you can take. Well, anyway, there was one day then that he, like, we were on set somewhere, and he called me over to, like, the cube truck, you know, where, like, all the art supplies and stuff are, and right. He was like, look in there, and like, no, I mean, I look went knowing there. Full well this is how people get murdered. like dumb. And I look, and just in the, I thought I was gonna see somebody sleeping, but just in the truck were like a bunch of production stills, and like bunch six, okay,
right.
Of those six, I'm in one. In that one shot, I'm one of four people, and I don't get, I was just, he's like, you get it? I'm like, I don't. And he said, looks like some, oh, he had a thick Southern accent. He was from Tennessee. He would tell everybody that in the first 5 minutes as though you couldn't tell anyway. And he would say, like, looks like somebody's obsessed with you, like keeping pictures of you and stuff. And I was like, what the fuck? And like, you know when somebody really wants you to think that what they said was funny, and then you just do that so you can get out of there? And I started Amen. Laughing, like, yeah. Maybe like now. And I was like, yeah, that's crazy.
I was just saying, I do that a lot.
Yeah.
I'm the classic, yeah. And I was saying this yesterday on stage, as a matter of fact. But yeah, the day of reckoning, the time when it comes where I'm going to have to do all the shit that I said yes to just to move things along.
Right. Mm.
That's going to be so painful.
Yeah. Well, he said then, you know, yeah, that's creepy, right? And I was like, yeah, it's weird, and I'm trying to back away. And he's like, you know, somebody's like, maybe.
Whoa!
Yeah,
the jerk-off sign.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
And I thought we were being filmed. Does everybody see this? Okay, good.
By the way, that guy has a big dick.
Well, yeah. The theatrical. You make it big to
it's
reach
a yard
the,
long.
Yeah, I know.
It's for the people listening. And
you would have, for him to pee on you, you'd have to sit.
Yeah, like, right.
Way over
on
there.
Another grassy knoll.
Yeah, like a neighboring knoll. Yeah, and then I just, you're fucked up, and walked away, and then was like furiously pacing and smoking, and yeah, and like I just didn't really know what to do. Like I wanted to go for this person's throat, but I couldn't, and it's not the kind of thing you can really report, because you know how that goes really well, like it,
of course,
you
of
know
course.
Anywhere
did so, you yeah, end up telling anyone?
Anyone who would listen that wasn't above me, like it was just like I would tell everybody that was at my level, you know, that was, and people were like, do you think maybe he likes you? Who fucking
what?
Cares?
Wow, you know what, you should consider that, because one time I was on the train, and it was a lovely train, and I noticed the person across from me was jerking off under his briefcase in his lap
and looking at you.
All I was thinking was, maybe he likes me.
Right.
Consider everything.
There was one time I was on the train. I was on one of the SEPTA. Like, if you go to Philly, you can take, like, New Jersey Transit and then change it to the SEPTA train. So I was on the SEPTA train. And this was 2000. And you're going to know that the second I continue this story, because there was a kid who had his boombox on his lap. And by kid, I mean 10, who had his boombox on his lap singing the Thong Song. 2000.
Ah. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, looking at me. Just like, sounds like a chuck, chuck, chuck. That's like, what, what? And I'm like, gross. He liked me too.
Yeah, well, now you know the lyrics.
I know.
Yeah.
How else are you going to understand the intention of a, what was his name? Oh,
Cisco.
Yeah, there you go.
I saw him in concert.
Yes.
Okay, Hot 97. Do you know about this station, the hip hop station in New York? They have I want to call it Summerfest, but I know it's called something else, where like a bunch of their artists get together. I did, like, I swear to God, I thought I invented meeting in the parking lot before a concert and having a barbecue. And I was like, I thought I invented tailgating. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, because I was going with like 10, 12 people. I would like happen to get a hookup for all these tickets. And I'm like, hey guys, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring a barbecue. And I'm like, this is such genius shit. Who thinks of this stuff? The whole parking lot will be our picnic. And then I'm like, oh, this is already a thing. I'm just an idiot. But I had so much fun. But to be honest, Hot 97 is a very, like, wonderful, upbeat, you know, a lot of songs that are like, what a boring concert.
Really?
What a boring concert.
Was it just Cisco, or who else was on the bill?
Cisco was the best. It was a bunch of their different artists.
Yeah.
Like, very, very popular artists for the time who get together and do it for the radio station.
Yeah.
And so it was like... Everyone's singing on a track. Everyone's yelling over their beat with 20 of their friends, half of them on mic also.
Oh, wow.
Cisco did a flip.
Well, then, if there's a flip.
Was he wearing a thong?
He was wearing probably something sparkly. I always love the way he dressed.
I'm gonna guess. Oh yeah, he was very like shimmery, like everything was. And then his hair was like that kind of white, light silver.
And
that,
it matched. Like, it matched his outfit. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm gonna guess the song's a little sexist, and he did not have a thong on.
Yeah, but I heard he was gay. Maybe that was just wishful thinking on my part.
Yeah. I heard he was a nice guy, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah.
Like to see him in a thong.
No, not with the thong thing. Because it did seem like a weird, on the misogyny level, but I loved it so much.
I know, yeah.
I loved it so, except when a 10-year-old sang it to you. I really loved it.
I liked it until then.
And now it gives you PTSD.
Yeah. Still, it's like an almost 20-year-old story.
What if you did this party, you feel like, you know what? What if I just blew his fucking mind right now?
And revealed your thong.
Show the thong.
Yeah, I know.
Like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to make everybody he knows thinks he's a liar. I play the song on the subway and they show me their thong.
Shut up, man.
That never happens.
Thongs used to be worn because people didn't want you to understand that they were underwear with certain pants. And my mom used to buy me thongs because she thought it was like really uncouth to see the lining of my underwear.
Wow.
And then like when we didn't live with each other, she still would buy me these things. And my boyfriends would be like, thanks, mom. She'd buy me like a lacy thong. And I'm like, you know what I'm doing with this, right?
But
like,
then the thong started being you buy fluorescent, you wear white pants, right? And then got to you have the thong outside of your pants to show you're wearing
right.
You're bragging that you're wearing nothing. You're like, here's something so you see I have nothing.
Right. Weird.
Yeah.
I liked it. I embraced it for a moment as
thongs,
much.
Thongs, you mean? Just, or the fact that?
My pants would hang down in my thigh, my thong would show.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That. Okay.
But I always did trends half-ass. I was like, you can kind of see it, but I'm a little embarrassed by it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm just like, this is totally in vogue, but like, if my mom saw me, she'd be really upset. But
I'm giving it 50%.
Yes, yes. And it was like, it was such a like baby version of badass. It would look badass to certain people, and then... And I'd look like I was, you know, the coolest person to some people, and to some other people, it's like, we see what you're doing. This is not what we're talking about. This is just like the half-assed version of like suburbia mocking what we do.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, it's just a thong, and I just want to have sex now that I'm having sex. I just want to attract some people.
You at least did a cool thing. I used to, like, before I had to actually wear a retainer, after I actually had braces, I would make one out of a paperclip.
Oh, wow. And wear it. That's amazing.
Because I thought it looked cool or so. Or maybe I saw, like, Martha Plimpton had one in you know, Goonies or whatever. And I thought, well, she's cool. So the way I get to be cool like Martha Plimpton is to wear a retainer.
Wow.
And then, and then guess who needed braces again?
Yeah.
Well, then I did need braces.
That's funny. What I thought was cool was... Who's the boss? What's her face?
Alyssa Milano.
Alyssa Milano. And, you know, you always think as a kid you're not going to have the influences that your parents tell you. Like, everyone's going to say a thing and you're going to be... But here I was. All she would talk about is going to the mall and having to cram for the last minute test that's tomorrow.
Yeah, she thought cramming was hip.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm cram.
I'm just like her, sweating nervously if I'll pass.
Yeah, I know.
So I'd go to the mall and, like, so try to make it a thing. I would just be like, yeah, this is cool. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I assume I'm supposed to be finding boys.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I would, like, what do you call it? Look for boys.
Cruise,
right? And I would just be like, they're cute. Now what? I buy earrings from a store. No idea.
You didn't go with friends? You were just a lone wolf in the mall?
That's badass. I would not have had the balls to do that.
No, I went with friends, but my friends were just as clueless. It was like, you know, I sort of always was like the production coordinator. Here's where we're all going.
Call time is noon.
Samantha from Who's the Boss says we're going to the mall at 1 o'clock, and then at 7 we're going to try to cram until 8 when we get a headache, and then just eat ice cream all night, because what are we, just girls?
Oh my God.
Yeah, terrible. It was, and then I had to go, like, the completely opposite way, because I'm like, okay, I tried doing this thing. I tried being like that girl. And then I was like, this isn't working for me. So I tried being a tough guy. Oh, that was pathetic.
Oh no.
How did that work? I don't know. I, like, half hit someone one time.
Again, we're going to 50. The trend was hitting people, and I half hit them.
But I think I just, like, pulled on their clothes or something. It was so stupid. I was just like, no, I have full control of everything that happens to me. It was just sad and
weird. My first concert was Nine Inch Nails, Marilyn Manson, and the Jim Rose Circus. December of 94, what was the Spectrum in Philadelphia. I have no idea what it's called now.
That's huge.
And but I remember I thought I was so badass because I wore men's shoes. And I don't mean like Docs or like shit kickers or whatever. It was just like men's dress shoes that were way too big for me. And they were like that. And I thought that I was awesome, you know, until I get to the Spectrum and there's just like all these way more on the edge people.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I would wear at that time, Jankos were in.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But so Jankos were like fitted on your waist and then just giant.
Huge legs like that.
Oh, legs that would cover your whole shoe, right? So I finally got the Jankos 3 years later.
Oh, my God.
At that point, people were taking apart their blanket and sewing that to make it even bigger. And I'm like, I can't keep up.
Yeah, I know. I can't.
And I don't know how to sew. So this is a problem now, because they would get all artistic about it and they'd get their old strawberry shortcake blankets and look super cool at the rave.
Yep.
And I'm like, wow. I got to the rave. I didn't tell my mom, but I'm here. And then I'd pretend to be on drugs because it was just my energy. I wasn't even pretending.
I didn't get to have any of this fake excitement.
Oh, yeah. You just follow the rules. That's really weird.
There was a guy, I was thinking about this the other day because Tech Andrew's into sports cars that are race cars. And it made me think how back home, this one guy drove me to our parking lot. And kids would open up their cars and people would look at each other's engines. But there's nothing exciting about these cars. You know, I can still.
I mean, to you, right?
To anybody. I can appreciate, this is an old Mustang. This is that.
No, people really get into that, though.
They were just regular cars. My dad had one. Like, what are you doing?
It was just like a hatchback.
Yeah.
The back hatches.
He's like, and this is a fresh wooden panel on the outside. So I would just, and they're like, look at that engine. I'm like, yeah, that's an engine. That's something. And there's another engine. I'm like, that is another engine. You know. And then I remember like when we were in the car, we drove past the woman and he goes, you didn't see that, did you? And I go, what? He goes, that was a woman. You could have yelled hi. You didn't see that. You'll get it. You'll get it.
Oh my God.
Wait, what?
You'll grow and you'll have your radar on and you'll find a woman you can yell at her.
Wow.
Yeah, you'll see. And by the way, nowadays, very good at it.
Oh yeah.
Yelling hi.
Hi.
I noticed you're a female. He's like, hi.
He's like, you see him and you yell at him. And but you gotta be more aware.
Wow. Damn.
I knew that they were teaching you guys this. I didn't know that they were pulling you guys aside and teaching you this.
Right.
That's interesting. Did you try it? Like, okay, maybe this is what I'm supposed to do.
Believe it or not, it never took. No, that was always ridiculous. Of course it was.
You never once yelled at a woman in...
Never.
Never approached anything like that?
No.
No.
No, you... She can't get to you.
Hold on. Something about your cadence. When you went, hey.
We used to, passing people when I was in high school, we would pass people in the car, honk, and then wave to the opposite side of the street so that they'd start to wave and realize you weren't, and then you were waving to no one on the opposite side of the street.
I can see that.
I also remember once throwing a piece of pizza at someone out of it. I was like, hey, here's a great prank we can play. Let's get a pizza, drive around and just hurl pieces at people.
You're telling me that was before the state money. Look at you. Good for you. Kevin Allison, thank you so much. Download the podcast, Grist. Kemp and myself are on it. You can hear my story about that. He got that from somewhere. They're putting the cheese up the asshole, so you'll see.
Indeed.
And thank you very much, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for opening.
All right. How we doing on time, everybody?
We're doing.
Oh, God, I gotta
eat. We're moving it along.
I gotta eat. Oh, my God. This never ends. Oh, shit. All right.
I'm next. Really eating this motherfucker. Mm-hmm. You know what it is? It's that we get it together and we're like, you rush for a long time and then 3 o'clock runs and you realize that's the one thing I forgot. And then
was to eat?
Yeah, because we have all this food for 24 hours and then we end up eating in the first hour. Like, this. How are you such a maniac?
People are like, you're going to be okay. It just started.
Yeah.
Like, I pack snacks to take on the plane, I eat them at the gate.
Exactly.
Like, I don't wait to get on the plane.
Oh, thank God Andrea came by with more water.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm spritzing my face. Oh, God. KeithandTheGirl.com.